15 fucking days. But we took a week off, and due to man, I am in a new Adobe, a new home, as I moved.
That's right.
Over the last couple of weeks, and it feels weird. I don't know why. I guess it was in the other house for 7 years, and
still got to get used to it, man. It's a new pair of shoes.
It's crazy, man, because I didn't start the podcast in the other house. I actually started it when we were still in the apartments. And so it's to think that the podcast has been going that long, man, but we did a lot of shows in the other house, and we haven't done in-person shows lately because of, it's just easier to do it online nowadays and all the COVID restrictions and stuff. But we've done a few live shows or in-person shows, but we do it all online. So it's weird doing it in a different house. Now this house is a little echoey, it feels like. But we'll make it anew, so to speak.
It's going to work.
New beginnings.
It's going to be great.
And I want to do a live show again. I need to talk to Daniel over at Misfit Toys and see about doing that. I always really like those shows. It's funny because I'm a pretty introverted, and I don't really like to speak in front of people, and I like to speak with my friends, and that's why I do the podcast with you and with when Long comes on the show, my best buds. But generally, I'm not really one to speak in public. But for some reason, when it comes to the live shows, I usually can get up for it and do it and have a good time. And Daniel and the guys at Misfit Toys are always very welcoming. So I need to talk to Daniel soon and see about maybe doing another live show.
It's always a good time over there, man. Yeah, especially if you go there, we can talk about what we see, what kind of new toys Daniel got in, and you know, he's super knowledgeable about that kind of merchandise, and you know, it's fun bringing that to the show, you know, bringing that toy aspect.
And he loves horror and horror toys and horror films, and he always, the last live show I think we did before COVID was one of our Halloween horror episodes. I think it was the Army of Darkness, possibly. I think it might be the last
one
we did over there.
Army of Darkness.
He loves horror. And this is, I got a little tangent, but this is our Halloween horrors month. We usually do 4 or 5 movies. It looks like this year it might only be 3, unless me and Matt pull something out of our collective butts and get a fourth episode done, special release kind of thing. We'll see how the next couple weeks go.
Yeah.
But for now, Halloween Horrors kickoff is today on the Rebel Radio Podcast. And this is, of course, Mark and Matt there across from me as we just kind of talk there. So we already kind of, you know who we are.
You know who we are. You know why we're here.
Yeah, I'm the one with the sexy voice. And Matt's the one that sounds like a little kid sometimes.
I'm a little boy.
And when Long is on the show, he's the very serious, stoic, informative voice of the show.
And, that's right.
And Long, if you're listening, man, we love you, dude. We just got to bust your balls a little bit, you know?
Just a little bit.
That's how we do things on the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Yeah. You know, but it's only like turned up to a 4 or a 5 with Long, you know? Whenever we mention Frank, it's like an 8 or a 9.
It's like an 8 or a 10. I mean, any guest of the show in some way has always got their balls busted a little bit on the show. It's just part of a guest or former co-host or host or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to give them a little ball busted.
It's how we make you feel welcome here.
But, you know, the week off kind of rejuvenated a little bit. We're looking at some things to reformat the show a little bit. Not as far as we're still going to do retrospectives of movies. We're just going to bring some new stuff to the table in 2023. But in between now and then, we truly have some epic films coming up. We mapped out the rest of the year. And we think that you guys are really going to like some of the films we're doing. I'm excited for some of them. I mean,
oh yeah,
there's some really good stuff coming up. So, but we're kicking off Halloween Horrors today, talking a pretty good horror film, which we'll get to in just a little bit. But let's kick off the show with Download This, where we tell people what we watched, streamed, checked out the last few weeks. I got to think about this for a minute because my viewing habits have been sporadic with the move the last couple of weeks. So I'm going to let Matt get started on this and what he watched and saw the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, watched a couple of things, because I've slacked a little bit. But in the past 2 weeks, I watched a Kevin Smith movie and had forgotten it was a Kevin Smith movie. The wife wanted to watch a chick flick, so she chose Jersey Girl.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've never seen Jersey Girl. It's okay. I was surprised to see George Carlin in there as the good father.
He's probably the best guy in the movie.
Yeah, he's the best guy in the movie. You got Jason Biggs in there. You've got J Lo. You know, J Lo's always cool to see, but she's in a more dramatic kind of role. It's obviously not as good as Chasing Amy. That's the better chick flick that that Kevin Smith did. But you know, it was cool that I watched it. You know, I was like, oh yeah, I remember it being promoted, and I remember there being a lot of buzz about it. Ben Affleck, whenever it came out, he was talking a lot about it, trying to get it promoted on like every other commercial I saw. It felt like, and I got to see it. It's okay. You know, there's not my favorite Kevin Smith movie, but you know, it's cool to watch. Secondly, this past evening, I watched, I went to the movie theaters and saw Halloween Ends. You know, our friends of the show, Erica and, Justin Corbett, they gave it a C+. I feel like it's maybe about that. There's definitely some stuff lacking, from the movie. There's a lack of Michael Myers' presence. He's in it, obviously, but it's like diet Michael Myers. So, you know, if you go there and you're looking for Mike Myers to go apeshit crazy like you did in Halloween Kills or, you know, the previous one, it's not going to be like that. You know, you do have some cool death scenes. That's cool. They just went a different route than I thought they would. I saw it in 4DX. This is the first 4DX film that I saw, and I have to say it was about what I would expect. It was kind of a little distracting for me. I don't know. Maybe other people have better experiences with it. I think if I was watching Top Gun Maverick, it would have been cooler because the seats move, and it probably, you know, if you're watching a movie like that or a race car movie, you know, it probably feel like you're in the driver's seat. But it's like you watch a horror movie, they try and make the seats move for odd reasons. It's like the guy's driving a motorcycle and it wants you to, you know, go left and right. I'm like, he's going straight on the road. And this is some of the stuff I didn't get, how they were trying to time these movements.
See, I'm not really into the gimmicks at the movies. Like even the 3D stuff wasn't that big a deal to me when it was a big thing. You know, I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. It's just me.
I would be more likely to see a 3D movie than a 4D movie again. But like you said, Mark, 3D, you know, 4D, take it or leave it. If you go to the XD movie at Cinemark, you go to the IMAX movie, you know, you go to the stuff that beefs up the sound, the picture quality, that stuff makes sense to me. The stuff where, oh man, it's in your face, you know, a 3D, I'll take it or leave it. And then, you know, the 4DX, you know, felt like I was in on a mini roller coaster ride. And, I felt like, you know, at times, you know, maybe I couldn't really focus on the movie because I'm just like, man, it was my drink like shaking, you know, as the carbonation and my soda getting all jumbled up, you know, and then there's like a spout that is at the back of your seat and it shoots up, water. Like if there's blood splatter, so it's like, I'm just like, whoa, you know, what's this water doing on me?
I don't want my popcorn wet. What the fuck?
Exactly. You know, I didn't have popcorn this time, but it's like, if I had an open drink or something, you know, like you said, the kind of stuff in there that would irk me, you know, under other circumstances, but, it was, I guess a cool experience just to say, hey, I did it, you know? But decent movie. I think it's a better, you know, you probably just get just as good of an experience watching it at home on Peacock, depending on your picture setup and your audio. If you want a theater experience, you know, you can definitely see this movie in theaters. I think it's definitely worth a watch. So you want to spend the money, go spend it. I don't think Halloween has ended. I think it's going to keep going. Cause why not? You know, Mike Myers makes money, you know, maybe this time actually make the killer Mike Myers. It'd be, yeah, baby, you're dead. Yeah. Gah. You know, but, other than that, I'm trying to think of, saw, Untraceable. It's a throwaway cop thriller movie, torture movie. It's another horror film. It's okay. Not much to elaborate on. Played a lot of Destiny. I got a new TV. Went ahead and got an 85 inch because I got a really good deal on it, and it's huge. It's massive, and it's heavy. I tried to pick that thing up. Locked, I freaking pulled out a muscle. Yeah. Sorry. Had to clear my throat. I bet. Yeah. But it's a cool experience. That's almost like you have a theater in your home. Oh, I watched Free Guy on it. So that's my other one, Free Guy. Of course, always fun watching Ryan Reynolds on screen doing Ryan Reynolds stuff. But I think that's about it. You know, not a lot for 2 weeks, but I definitely did some watching.
Yeah. Done more than me. I think the only thing I've managed to watch in the last 2 weeks, I was thinking about that, was I'm a couple episodes behind on Andor. I know I watched episode 4 because I think the last time we recorded, only the first 3 were out. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't know.
I think it was just the first 3.
Yeah, so I did watch the 4th episode, and I'm liking it so far. I mean, there's very little in the Star Wars universe I don't usually enjoy or find something to enjoy. That there's things I want to watch. Like, I want to sit down and want to watch the Werewolf by Night special on Disney Plus. Just haven't had a chance to yet. Get caught up on Andor. And I'm looking forward to that Tales of the Jedi animated series. I think it comes out in a couple weeks.
That looks cool.
That looks cool. I'm looking forward to that. I know it's only like 6 episodes, but it still looks cool. I got to finish some Cobra Kai. I know about halfway, but I haven't been able to watch anymore. But, you know, I think I have an excuse, as I've been very busy.
You definitely have an excuse.
And everything. But I'll try to get caught up on some things here in the next week or so. And because I haven't, I mean, there's been stuff I wanted to watch. I think one night I was sitting down and because I didn't have my TV set up yet, so I had the PlayStation only using your Vudu account. And I was just watching Raiders of the Lost Ark just for the hell of it, because that's just one of my comfort movies, you know, and you had it digitally on your account. So
yes, sir.
I was watching that, and that's about it, man. So I slacked. I pulled along this week, who slacks quite often in things he watches. So I blame Long, even though he's not on the show. It's just
he rubbed off on you.
That's right. But let's get today's featured film then. Let's kick off Halloween Horrors Month with you know, the first film, 28 Days Later, is one of my favorite sci-fi horror movies that have been made ever. And you know, and they made the sequel to it. It's not directed by Danny Boyle. He stayed on to produce, and they brought in a different director. Maybe not as good as the first one, but there's still a lot I like in this one too. And it is 28 weeks later, which is very much, it takes place 28 weeks after the first film, in which the rage virus has been pretty much eradicated from Europe, or so they believe, as they're trying to round up survivors and gather them into a quarantine zone. And essentially, and then, of course, things being a horror movie, things don't go the way they plan them to. They have a little boy who they believe might be a cure to the virus, as he seems immune. And but all hell unleashes. I guess that's the best way to describe it. I watched this movie over a few days over the last couple of weeks. I'm trying to remember exactly
the way I would describe it is two siblings, a girl and a boy and a girl, basically fuck up the U.S. trying to go in and restart society in England by going and looking for their mother,
right,
who was infected but has some kind of, you know, hereditary immunity to the disease. She can carry it and spread it, but it doesn't affect her the way it does other people. And so, of course, the dad comes in, he gives her a kiss, boom, he gets the virus, and he starts spreading it, and then it just infects more and more and more and just fucks everything up, you know?
So. And it becomes an on the run movie where the soldier played by Jeremy Renner in one of his early, really like maybe a second role as an actor, is trying to protect the kids and get them out of London and get them to Wembley Stadium, which is believed to be an extraction zone, to get them to safety. And but the best way to describe this movie is the first one had this sense of terror and dread, and everything does go wrong in the first movie. But Danny Boyle directs it in such a style that it, the movie had a flow to it. So when things went wrong, you're kind of like, it added to the heart of the film. Where yeah. this movie plays out more like an action film where everything goes wrong and it feels very convenient. It doesn't have the same intensity. Is that a good way to be fair to this movie? But yeah, the same way fair. this movie is shot very well. The guy tries to emulate Boyle style, and but the plot of it is so a little more all over the place. A lot happens very quickly and very conveniently, and you're like, okay, and the movie gives you all this hope, and then it rips it away constantly. In a way, the first one does the same thing. But the first one doesn't give you as much hope. The first one starts out in dread and it continues in dread throughout the movie, so you know what you're watching. Where this one, like, just every time something good seems like it's going to happen, any hope is ripped away very quickly in this movie. And of course, yeah. this movie ends on a major downer note where we find out that Europe has basically been completely taken back over by the rage virus. And that's how the movie ends, with the intended third sequel that never did happen.
28 months later.
Yeah, which it's strangely Danny Boyle still talks about doing it even years later, but I don't think he's ever going to do it at this point. You know,
we should just go ahead and say 28 decades later.
Right.
yeah,
I mean, you know, Boyle has become an Oscar winner since 28 Days Later, winning for Slumdog Millionaire, and is a little more picky about his projects, and this just doesn't feel like a genre he might go back to. I mean, you never know. But that said, though, there's a lot to like about 28 Weeks Later. I like the way it's shot. I like the way that it does have an intensity to it that makes the movie very exciting, despite the plot conveniences that just kind of happen. It's cool seeing Renner in an early role. Rose Byrne, she's always good in films, and she's good in this one. I think the movie doesn't feel as violent as the first one until the end. You know, whenever. Yeah. I mean, they find her. I was a little confused. I thought that they had killed her dad earlier in the movie, or at least they make it appear that he's dead. Then all of a sudden he shows back up at the end and starts biting into the kid. And then he beats the hell out of their mother after all this work to save her. It's like, wait, what? You're just like, then the daughter comes in and shoots her dad. And it's just like, well, that's really not fair. It's yeah. Like, damn it.
Everything gets screwed up.
Yeah. We should know the opening sequence of the movie, which is we are introduced to Robert Carlyle's character with a bunch of people in a cabin when these kids run to the door. And the whole thing is very intense from the beginning, and nothing goes right from the beginning. So the movie sets it up from there just to have nothing go right throughout the film, essentially.
Yeah, they're just trying to eat dinner in their cabin, and they hear banging at the door, and the husband's like, don't answer. There's no way we can help. And the wife's like, it's a boy. It's a baby boy. And so they're like, all right, fine. So dad undoes everything, lets the boy in. But I guess a bunch of people infected see that he went in there, and they just start busting through the walls. Grandma and grandpa die. A bunch of other people, other people in the cabin die. And the husband, you know, the wife and the little kid that they took in, you get left behind by him because he's just trying to save himself, which I guess kind of echoes some of the themes from the first one where, the girl that was the lady that was traveling with Cillian Murphy's character from the first one, she said that if you care about people or you start helping people, then, it can come back to bite you. And, and sometimes you just have to think about yourself. And he thinks about himself, and, because the people that he, helped came back to bite him, and, he leaves her. And I could have sworn she was like ripped to shreds, because that's what they do. I mean, that's what happens when you get grabbed. I don't know how you just survive, but, it's a movie. And he takes off in a boat, and then, people are riding. Next thing you know, people are riding a bullet train into London, and they're like, yeah, we've even got a pub going on, and so you got a lot of Americans there because, hey, they went with what most movies do with a sequel, they bring in Americans and a bigger budget, and that usually brings in more viewers. And, you know, he went up to $15 million on the budget this time. You know, is it better than the first one? No. Is it bad? No. It's yeah, just the dad, you kind of despise him, I feel like, because right. he left his wife behind, you know, and yeah. kind of a shitty thing to do. And then he took off on the boat and guy like falls out of the boat, one of the guys that's with him. And he's just, you know, screwing everybody, just, you know, screw you guys, I'm out of here. And he just takes off. But it's pretty cool that, you know, it still amazes me that, you know, we went from like forever with, you know, George A. Romero and subsequent, you know, zombie movies following from that of zombies just being really slow, lethargic. And these zombies are lacing up their Nikes, you know, and running after people. You know, it's and, one of those.
No, yeah. That, I found it interesting that these zombies died from starvation.
Yeah.
That's kind of a new element that I don't ever remember seeing in a zombie film. Maybe Romero did something like that at one point. I could be wrong on that, but I thought that was interesting concept, because I don't yeah. remember that occurring in The Walking Dead or any other zombies that I've watched. But in this one, they actually have to eat to stay alive or feed on other humans.
Yeah. And that's crazy, because most of the time, like you said, you know, the zombies are still alive, but they, you know, maybe get more decrepit. You know, they deteriorate a little faster. It's a different element. It's one of those movies where you're like, man, if we got an apocalypse like that, we'd be screwed. Cause it's like, there's just no way to react, man. These guys are flying at you. Yeah, I feel like, you know, the last, you know, 40, 50 minutes of the film is just really fast, really fast paced. Society breaks down. They're on the run. Jeremy Renner gets lit on fire and shit, trying to push start a vehicle that won't start. And man, it's pretty crazy.
Sacrifices himself, basically.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely the favorite character of the movie, I think.
Yeah, I do like this version of zombie horror, though. The speed zombies, I think it's an interesting thing. When we did 28 Days Later, I know I talked about that. Nothing wrong with the classic zombies, but I like the idea of zombieism being a virus, like it is in this, and causing people to kind of turn into the undead, not necessarily rising from the dead. And I think that's cool. We see it. We saw it in World War Z as well, which is I think a really cool zombie sci-fi movie as well.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
And so I like this idea, and I think that's why I like the first film quite a bit. I agree with you that this movie is not a bad movie. It's just not as good as the first one. It sits just under a 7.0 on IMDb, which I think is pretty fair, which is seven's a pretty high score really for a sequel and for a movie that was not as well received by the critics as the first one. But a lot of critics did like this movie. They praised the direction. They praised the intensity of it and the horrifying elements of it. I think where critics didn't like as much were some of the messy plot points that we mentioned. But I think they added the last scene in the film at the last minute to give an idea that there could be a sequel. Originally, the movie was going to end with the torn down helicopter. And that was it. And then there was no zombies running. So I thought that was cool. Danny Boyle said he was hands-on as far as he couldn't direct the film. He did some second unit directing and helped produce the movie. So that it still has this look of the first one. I saw this in theaters, and I had not seen the first one when I saw this in theaters. I can't remember who I went with, so I wanted to see it. And so I went back shortly after seeing this and saw the first one, and I was like, wow, this, and the first one is a fantastic movie. I like 28 Days Later a lot. And this one, I enjoy this too. I can see where it's not as strong as the first movie, but I think it's still a really strong sequel, and it's pretty well done. And I like the fact that it opens up elements for a possible third one. If Alex Garland, the screenwriter, and Danny Boyle ever get around to doing it, I think it would be I think it'd be cool to see one more, maybe round out this trilogy and do the 28 Months Later. You know, originally it was going to be, the original idea for the sequel was 29 days later. It was just the next day after the way the first one ended. But
wow,
they never got around doing that. They developed the script where it was 28 weeks later, and we got this movie. There was also some other elements where Rose Byrne and Jeremy Renner's were swapped, where Renner actually dies in the subway by at the hands of Robert Carlyle, and then Byrne, she saves the kids and gets burned alive instead. They actually had flip-flopped that in the final shooting script.
I don't know if that would have been as cool. You know, you had the woman going out pushing the car. You'd be like, man, Jeremy, you know, bastard, get out there and push. You're making the woman push. Yeah. They got shot in the leg, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how I would view it.
It's cool too. I actually, until I watched it this week, I forgot Jeremy Renner was in this. And it literally is like his second major movie role. I mean, he was not Hawkeye at this point. He had not done The Hurt Locker. The Hurt Locker came out the same year, later that year, I believe.
Mission Impossible films. Yeah. You know,
The Hurt Locker, of course, is the movie that really put him on the map, I think, since it won the Oscars and everything. And, and it got him recognition. And of course, a couple years later, he's in the Avengers. And then Tom Cruise said, come on board and let's do Impossible Missions with me.
Yeah.
Know? And so it's pretty cool. And but he's good in this role, man. He Renner plays a good military guy. You know, he did it in this and he did it in Hurt Locker. And I'm sure there's probably some other movie he did that I'm not thinking of. Another little interesting note is the farm at the beginning of this movie. It's the same farm that was used in Children of Men, which is a very good science fiction movie with what's his name? Escaping me. Clive Owen.
Clive Owen. Yeah.
That's a good science fiction movie that we've talked about there before. We'll have to do that.
It was used in some other movie too. I saw. I'm not familiar with that movie, but I was like, man, they really like using this cabin over and over and over again.
Yeah. But man, 28 Weeks Later, though, I think is a pretty kick-ass film. Good sequel. It's a worthy follow-up. And I think it helped that Boyle was able to come on and do some second unit directing and producing and made the movie have a good flow to it. Not as good as the first one, but still a worthy sequel. It was fun to rewatch it because I had only seen it. I've seen the first one several times. I've only seen this one two or three times over the years. You know, like, yeah. I saw it in theaters. I think I watched it one other time. And actually, when we did 28 Days Later a couple of years ago, I bought it on the Vudu. They had it for $10 for both of them. And I had not sat down and watched the sequel since I bought them, so we could do part one. And I was like, well, now I have a reason to watch part two finally. And maybe we'll get a part three one day. But I think this is a pretty solid sequel. I kind of agree with the 7 out of 10 on it on IMDb, or a pretty solid B+. You know, I think it's
I'd say it's at least a B. I think it's a B for me. I feel like, you know, maybe we should have had Cillian Murphy come back, but I don't think there's scheduling conflicts with that or something.
It was him and he and Naomi Harris could not commit to it to come back for their role. So they
Dark Knight probably
they rewrote some of the roles. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Dark Knight came out in 2008. This was 2007, so it's possible that was what he was filming. Or but he only had a small part of the Dark Knight.
Or Red Eye. Maybe he did Red Eye.
Who knows?
You know?
Because Inception wasn't until after this too. So who knows what he was doing? Naomi Harris was probably doing Skyfall at the time. James Bond, I would imagine. You know, around this time. So
yeah.
But yeah, so they rewrote the script without those characters in it and then did some stuff. And it still came out to be a good film. Definitely worth watching. So 28 Weeks Later, man, a good kickoff to our shortened version of Halloween Horrors 2022.
Everyone likes everyone likes a good zombie film.
Oh yeah. Yep. They do. All right. Well, and speaking of zombie films and Halloween and horrors, we started a tradition a couple years ago during Halloween Horrors where we tell ghost stories on the show. And we've only got one this week. Next week, we're going to have two because I'm going to get one too, and Matt's going to get one. And we'll have two ghost stories next week. But this week we just have one ghost story, and it's going to come from Matt's side, as he's got a ghost story to tell us in the month of October here. So
yeah,
let's scare some PP Pants City here, Matt.
So whenever I was maybe, I think I was 5 years old, and where I'm sitting right now in my house recording, I used to get thirsty. You get thirsty in the middle of the night. You wake up, you get something to drink. That's what I was going to do. And I get up and I make my way over to the kitchen, and I could have sworn I saw a cloaked figure with a top hat on, like maybe a fedora type hat, something like that. And I ignored it at first because I saw it in the hallway. And then as I pass the counter and I look into the kitchen, it's moved. And I ran to my parents' door and I'm banging on it. It's locked. I look back and the figure has moved closer to the middle of the kitchen. And I just ran the opposite way, ran back in the room. My cousin had stayed over.
How old were you?
I'm five. And so, of course, my parents didn't believe me. And then, my cousin used to stay over all the time. My cousin saw the same thing, and I don't think I ever remembered telling him how he looked like, and he was able to describe him. I just said, I saw a ghost, and my sister saw the same thing. We all had seen the same thing, and didn't think anything of it except for just that it happened over the years. And then recently, I saw this documentary about the Hat Men. And so apparently, and it, these people describe seeing the same phenomenon across other countries. And they mainly see it in people that have, I guess their lives get kind of upended or something like that. They see it in people who have like a lot of negative energy surrounding them. Some people who research this stuff say that it's part of a sleep paralysis. Because sometimes you can wake up and people have seen these figures standing by their bedside, and they're just like frozen in terror. They can't move. They describe the same looking figure. There's podcasts on it. There's books, and all say the same thing. I sent it immediately to my mom, and she's just like, whoa, that's crazy. I don't think she still doesn't believe, but it's like, that I think that says something. And there's many theories out there that these things are time travelers, that they go from different spots and time or whatnot, and then there's other theories that they're just beings that harness, are attracted to negative energy. And it's there are all kinds of theories, but the Hat Men, look it up. They're real. I've seen one. My family's seen them. It's kind of spooky. They look very, very scary.
All right. Now that people are pooping themselves. that's crazy.
I think I sent you a screenshot of what
something, man.
Some people even describe them as having like red eyes, but that's basically what I saw a silhouette of.
I can safely say I've heard stories, people that have seen things, but I've never seen anything in my life. And I don't want to, so that's not encouraging any ghosts that might be listening to the show. Don't come spook me out now.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that kind of stuff.
Sometimes you talk about it, it attracts that side of the universe too.
Stay away, motherfuckers. I don't want to see no crazy ass shit.
Use Wyatt's proton blaster. Zap him.
He would probably try to do that himself. So good stuff, man. Next week I will look something up, and we'll bring a couple of good ghost stories to the table next week on the show.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And have to.
Yeah, I was even thinking, man, we're recording on Saturday. I was thinking, download this. I am going to try to go see Black Adam next Saturday. So we'll see. Maybe we'll record Saturday again so I can give a Black Adam report. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, yeah.
That's another week away. Well, let's do a little bit of news. There's not a whole lot going on, but we'll talk about it. There's a couple of trailers came out this week. We got a new trailer for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Looks pretty exciting. We got to see our first look at Ironheart. We got our first look at the new Black Panther in suit. It's pretty, I think, fairly obvious that it's a female. I think that's safe to say.
Easily.
My guess is probably Shuri. I mean, you know, let's just be honest here. But most exciting is just seeing Namor on screen is pretty cool. You know, it's one of those early Marvel superheroes that has been around for a long time. And we're finally going to get his big screen debut. And you know, we all know that Namor starts out as a villain, but eventually, you know, kind of ends up being a friend of things too. I really hope the rumors are true that Dr. Doom appears at the end of this film, and we'll see, you know, and sets up the future of the Marvel Universe. I mean, we know Kang is coming too. We already know he's in Ant-Man 3 and things like that. Everyone expects the Ant-Man trailer to be out here the next couple of weeks, as it'll likely debut in theaters in front of Black Panther, you know. So we know it's all coming. Because Phase 2, let's be honest, has been a little bit No Way Home was fun, but overall, Phase 2 has been a bit weak. It's time to let's bring it, Marvel. Let's see what we're doing next after Thanos. It's time to get the ball rolling on this.
Exactly.
You know, exciting news with Hugh Jackman coming back as Wolverine, but then also some other news like Blade. And the Blade has been pushed back a year now as they lost its director. I hope they don't lose Mahershala. I'm probably saying his name wrong, Mahershala Ali, because I think he's going to be a really good Blade. Hopefully, he sticks with the project and. They pushed that back, and it caused some of the other movies to shuffle around. It just seems like Marvel is struggling a little bit with Phase 2, getting things off the ground and getting things made. While the TV shows keep going strong, it seems, even though I've heard, I just couldn't keep up with She-Hulk. I didn't like it enough, but I've heard the finale was really bizarre and weird. But it just seems that the theaters there, that, you know, Thor was okay. I like Doctor Strange more. You know, it was pretty decent.
Yeah,
but, you know, hopefully Black Panther and Ant-Man 3 get the ball rolling on Phase 5, whatever phase we're in now, and we get some good films, and I think Black Panther will be great, man. Ryan Coogler, you know, he has been a hell of a director since he came on the scene with Creed and Black Panther and Fruitvale Station. He's done some really good films, and it's glad to see him back, because, you know, he said he considered retiring after Chadwick Boseman's death, that he wasn't sure if he could do another film, and that's how strongly it hit him, the death of Chadwick Boseman. So looking forward to seeing what he does with Black Panther 2. And speaking of deaths, of course, you know, William Hurt passed away a few months ago, and he played Thunderbolt Ross, General Thunderbolt Ross in the Marvel Universe. And rumor is that Harrison Ford may be taking on that role, which I think is pretty perfect. I had to understand why people were making a big deal about they couldn't recast Chadwick, but they can recast Hurt just 5 months later. Well, it's a different style role. What Chadwick did was a big, big role, a big, important role. Where Thunderbolt Ross is more of a supporting character, unless they ever go the route of him turning into Red Hulk and stuff, which, you know, who knows if they'll do that one day. But I like this. I like that. If Harrison Ford does sign on, I think he'll be a good General Thunderbolt Ross. I do believe so. And, second trailer that came out this week, which caused a ruckus with people, was the first trailer for the Super Mario Brothers movie. And people knocking Chris Pratt in his voice. I'm fine with it. You know, I think the movie looks really cool. I was kind of excited for the trailer. I guess voice acting doesn't bother me that much. I mean, you know, we had very little. I mean, Mario's voice is in the games and stuff, but really, how much reference do we really have? I guess they're making a big deal because he doesn't sound Italian.
Or that he's not Italian. That's like, I like how, you know, Bill Burr was talking about that movie with Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart where he's a quadriplegic. Yeah. And people were pissed because they didn't hire an actual quadriplegic. Oh, and he's like, look, it's called acting. He's like, your job is to be something you're not, you know?
Exactly.
And, I'm Hispanic, you know, and, right. and, you know, Hispanics are kin to Italians. And, I have no problem with, you know, there's so many white people being cast as, you know, Hispanics. And
I mean,
it's acting, man, you know.
Yeah. I mean, no, you're wrong. Representation, diversity does matter. But it's a role. It's acting. You can't hit it on the nail every time. It's okay to play different parts and let people play parts. And I think we're getting to the point where, like, everything doesn't have to be exactly what woke culture wants it to be all the time. It's just like, stop giving in, basically, to everyone.
None of those guys are plumbers either. And they're exactly. voicing plumbers. You know,
should they hire a real Italian plumber to play Mario's voice? I mean, at the end of the day, it's a fucking video game character. It's made up. Nintendo of America was very tight with their license. They every step of the way with this film being made by Universal Illuminati, that if Nintendo signed off on it, then they're obviously okay with it. It's fine.
It could have been their choice too. Nintendo could have said, we want Chris Pratt.
And this is why I think Nintendo stays away from licensing their characters, because they know that the fan bases and people are just I don't know. They do this kind of shit. They cause issues. I mean, can you imagine Nintendo trying to make a Zelda film? Yeah, it would get eaten alive by the fan base as far as casting, so, but I'm looking forward to Mario. So, whatever. I'll go enjoy it with my kids.
It'll be a fun movie. It's going to be a good movie.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's all the news I had. It wasn't strangely, even though we hadn't done a show in 2 weeks, I was looking through the news and it was.
I have something. Just yesterday, we lost Ted White, which, if you don't know who Ted White is, he was John Wayne's stuntman. Yeah. All right. That's how old this man was. He was born in 1926. All right. So he was an old dude, but he was a stuntman for, the final Friday the 13th, Chapter 4.
Yeah.
So with, it being Halloween Horrors Month, and, we do, talk slashers here sometimes, rip to the great stuntman Ted White, who not only, portrayed, John Wayne at times, but Jason Voorhees.
And then Robbie Coltrane, who played Hagrid in the Harry Potter films, passed away this week. And he had something. I read a nice quote from him where I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I made the films for my children and for their grandchildren and for future generations. They'll always have Harry Potter to watch. And he says, and to me, that's an important legacy. I'm kind of paraphrasing that, but I thought that was a good quote from him.
Yeah.
And he was very proud of Hagrid and what he did with those films. And I'm not a huge Harry Potter guy. I enjoy him for what they are, but I do like his role in those movies. I did think he was very good as Hagrid. So.
Yeah, he was like a big brother to Harry, or an uncle, because he didn't have a family, so he had to depend on those teachers there.
Yeah, and then who was it? Angela Lansbury from Murder, She Wrote?
Yeah.
Also passed away this week, and not to be rude, but I didn't realize she was still alive until I she was old when I was little, Matt, and so I was like, oh, okay, she passed away. I thought she had passed away a long time ago. But another classic TV screen actor left this week. So a few deaths. But anyway, well, let's preview next week's episode of Halloween Horrors. We're going to stick with the zombie genre, only we're going to go to an all-time classic that is the reason we have zombie horror initially. And not only zombie horror, but this director influenced many of the greats, from John Carpenter to, what's the guy who makes the weird movies that just had the sex science movie? The guy did Eastern Promises and Existence, always makes really weird movies.
Yeah, you're not talking about Peele, are you? Jordan Peele?
No. Well, I'm sure influenced Jordan Peele as well. And what is that guy's name? East. Let me look this up. Guillermo del Toro, definitely influenced by.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
David Cronenberg made The Fly. Oh, Cronenberg. You know, all these great horror directors. So we're going to talk George Romero's original 1953, I believe, maybe 54, Night of the Living Dead.
Night of total terror. Night of the living dead, the dead who live on living flesh, the dead whose haunted souls hunt the living whose bodies are the only food for these ungodly creatures. Adventure in fear. An experience in shock more shattering than your strangest nightmare. Night of the living dead. A night with the dead who cannot die. A night of total terror. Night of the Living Dead.
This movie, man, scared the shit out of people when it came out. We watch it now and we're probably like, oh, this is weak sauce. But man, in 1953, you gotta remember the mindset, okay? You have the Cold War, you have the Red Scare, people are coming off of World War III and World War II. And the country is in this place where they go to the movies to escape, you know, and they believed some of the stuff on screen. Man, people had a little bit different trouble separating reality back then from the movie screen. And there are people that went into this theater and would walk out of it seeing the original Night of the Living Dead because it scared the shit out because they didn't know if it was real or not. So it's an all-time classic that changed the game as far as horror on the big screen. And we're going to talk Night of the Living Dead next week. And we're also going to next week, we will have This Month in Pop Culture History on next week's show. So I hope, Matt, you bring us some scary pop culture stuff next week on the show. And a couple more ghost stories for you on next week's episode. But it's good to be back after a week's break. And we thank you for listening. The RebelRadioPodcast.com is where you can find all your Rebel Radio needs. We're on all the apps, iTunes, there is no more Google Play anymore. I always forget that. But iHeartRadio, Spotify, you can find us on all that good stuff. And as always, man, we appreciate you listening. And until next week, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
Remember, as always, just go there
and do it.